living a life of abundant generosity. Now, I'm going to say today, right off the get-go, this is not a message about money, okay? This is a message about generosity. All right, now obviously our money plays a part in that, but it's a message about generosity. So I want to say that right from the get-go. Second thing, I want to be honest with you. When I was preparing this message this week, as I was preparing, I was feeling just a little bit off once in a while when I was, you know, going through the scriptures, doing the message, and I was kind of thinking, man, like, what is going on? Like, what's bugging me about this? What's going on? And then it hit me as like, oh, that's conviction. You see, generosity is maybe, how shall I say it, not something that comes naturally to me. I grew up in a great family, and our family, I believe they were generous with what we had. We didn't have much, but they were. But I don't know. I guess I was that kid that didn't share and, you know, said no a lot. I'm not sure. But generosity, when I was going through this, I was feeling a little bit of conviction. So I'm just going to give you that right off. So you understand, when I bring a message, I'm bringing you God's word. I'm never saying that I've got it perfect. I'm bringing you his word. And I can learn and grow from his word, just like all of us can. So we're going to talk about generosity. We're going to talk about living a life of abundant generosity. Let me begin with a story. A story about a man who was hated. You see, he was hated by his neighbors. He was hated by relatives. And well, he was probably even hated by some of his own family. And he was hated because of the profession he chose. You see, he was somewhat selfish. We could say greedy, and he put his career ahead of everything else, and well, money was his thing. I think over time, his heart likely became hard towards others because, you see, the profession he took was that of somebody who collected taxes at the expense of all others. He would have got to a point where he no longer cared if they didn't have money to feed their kids or if they were going to lose their place. It was just all about his job. And the other thing about his job, it was really easy to take some extra to put in his own pocket. It was almost like it was expected. He started to believe that it was okay. It's funny how greed and selfishness kind of slowly moves people away from what God wants, and somehow it's okay. But for this man, it had definitely happened. But you see, he was about to have an encounter with Jesus. Now, some of you may already be catching on. I'm talking about a short little guy named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and he was collecting tax for an oppressing government at the expense of all of his relatives and family even. And nobody liked him, and I have a feeling that over time he realized, man, there is something wrong with me, and I don't like being hated. I don't know anybody who likes being hated. And I think he realized, I need somebody. And he'd heard about Jesus, this guy going around doing miracles, healing people, opening blind eyes, and he wanted to see him. He climbed up in a tree so he could see Jesus coming with his followers. And Jesus was expecting to meet him. And as Jesus comes, he looks in the tree and he knows him by name. And he says, Zacchaeus, come down. Today we're going to your house. We're going to get together at your house. And it's not for a 30-minute tea. He says, we're going to your house today. You see, when they had get-togethers at homes in those days, they had get-togethers. Some of you here understand those types of get-togethers. When the family comes over, it's an all-day event. That's how it was. And the thing is that Zacchaeus, when he heard Jesus say, we're coming, because it wasn't just Jesus, it was Jesus, his 12 disciples, some women that were also traveling along in the group, and maybe some others. It was a big group of people. And they were coming to eat at his house, and it says that Zacchaeus came down with joy to host them at his place. And as they're having their meal, they're sitting there, they're eating, Zacchaeus suddenly gets up and he declares to everybody in the room, I am going to give half my wealth to the poor. And if I have stolen from anybody, and trust me, he obviously had, if I have stolen from anybody, I'm going to pay them back four times what I stole. And Jesus makes an amazing statement at that moment. He says this, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. Salvation has come to this home. How did Jesus know that salvation had come to Zacchaeus? By his heart change, and his heart change was shown in his actions. A man who was completely selfish and greedy and cared about no one is suddenly had a heart change and said, I'm giving half of it away, and oh my goodness, I am repaying those. And Jesus, at the end of his statement saying salvation has come to this home, he also says he's shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. I may get into that a little bit later in the message. Why would he say he's shown himself to be a son of Abraham? Abraham, if you'll remember, and we're going to get to that verse, was told by God, you will be blessed and you will be a blessing. So generosity is huge in God's kingdom. So huge that when Jesus saw it in Zacchaeus, he said, I know salvation has come to this house. You see, living a life of abundant generosity, the first thing you need to know is that God wants his people to live a life of abundant generosity. Some people aren't aware of that. Deuteronomy 15 and verse 6 says this, the Lord your God will bless you just as he promised you. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. God is speaking to the Israelites, clearly telling them, I'm going to bless you abundantly, but I love the way he says it. You will lend to many nations. He is telling them, I want to bless you abundantly, but he's telling them there's a reason for that blessing. And he kind of even skips the you'll blessed abundantly. He just says, you're going to lend to many nations. You see, God's purpose for abundantly blessing and pouring out on you isn't just so you can make a huge mound of wealth. There's a purpose for it before it even comes. Deuteronomy 28 echoes the same thing again. It says, the Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today, and if you carefully obey him, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will always be on top and never at the bottom. You will lend to many nations. You see, God wanted his people to be blessed so that they could be a blessing to others. Generosity is something that should be evident in every child of God. Generosity is something that shows we've had a heart change. You see, the abundant blessing that God was planning to give the Israelites was for his purposes. And guess what? A huge part of God's purpose is for the Israelites to be a blessing to other people. You see, you and I should be a blessing to other people. It's easy to become selfish and self-centered, and some maybe even we're just, well, we're good with our families. We'll be generous with our families, but outside that, I don't know. And maybe some are generous to everybody except their families. Also not a good idea. But generosity should be something that is at the core of who we are. See, there's a scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 8 that says, the Lord gives you power to get wealth that he may establish his covenant. He has a purpose in the wealth he gives. And of course, this promise that was given to the Israelites was originally given to Abraham, who is a forefather of the Israelites. And we read that in Genesis chapter 12. It said, the Lord said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives and your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. You see, what a powerful blessing God would give. But as he declares he's giving it, he declares what it's for. To bless others. And we know from Scripture, if you read in Genesis, Abraham became unbelievably wealthy. One of the wealthiest men in his time. But he was generous, and he was a blessing to others. We know Abraham had a generous heart. You read through his story, and you remember that he had a nephew that he brought along with him. He brought that nephew because he was generous. He wanted to bless his family. And later, when they're arguing about land because their flocks have grown, he says generously to his nephew, "Take whatever land you want, and we'll go a different direction." Generous. And Lot takes the great fertile land, and Abraham's left with some land that doesn't look so great. But guess what? God still blesses them abundantly because he's generous. Think about Abraham's story. One of the crazy stories in the Old Testament where God is about to bring some judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. But first, he goes and he wants to chat with Abraham. But he shows up and it's the form of three strangers. Three strangers are outside the area where Abraham lives. And Abraham ignores them because stranger danger. No. Oh yeah, it was a different world back then. Not so much. People were still people. There were still robbers when you went down the road alone. It was different, but not. What does Abraham do? He goes to the strangers and says, "Hey, you guys need to come to my house. I'm going to feed you." And he doesn't just feed them leftovers. I'm good with leftovers. But he feeds them a really great meal. He goes and gets the best calf out of the herd. And he feeds them. He was generous. You see, when Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "You've shown yourself to be a true son of Abraham," everybody knew Abraham was generous and blessed others. I want to encourage you. Are you a true child of the Lord? Then generosity should be something at your core. Now, let me explain clearly. Anybody can be generous. They don't have to go to church or be a believer even. There's some who understand generosity because their parents taught them, and maybe they've never gone to church. Generosity is something that you can learn and you can give out. Because here's the bottom line. If you're not generous, you can't be a blessing to anyone. Listen to 1 Timothy 6. "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment." God's okay for you to enjoy life. "Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life." If you're not being generous, I don't believe that you're really experiencing life. And if you talk to people who understand generosity and have used what God's given them to be generous to others, the joy that comes from being generous and helping others is amazing. It is way better than the joy of, "I got some more money in my bank account." God wants us to learn generosity, and it is for our good. Remember the scripture that says it's more blessed to give than to receive. How is that? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Giving and being generous to those who need it can truly change you on the inside. I read a story while I was doing a little research, and I had remembered something from a few years back. And there was a couple who grew up in Slave Lake and they moved on. But God had abundantly blessed them and had, you know, totally changed their financial thing, but they were generous people. And I read an article that they gave $500,000 to the town of Slave Lake to upgrade some parks so the kids had better parks to play in. $500,000 is a lot, but they said, "No, we want to give back to where we grew up." And I think $400,000 went to parks and $100,000 went to some other organizations. They were generous. Now, here's the thing that most people think about generosity. They think, well, If I was at that their level of income, I'd be generous. Did you know that guaranteed they were generous their lives? You don't suddenly get to a certain level and decide to be generous. That's not how it works. It's generosity is a heart issue. And you can be greedy and selfish with nothing or with loads of things. You see, it is not about how much wealth you do or don't have. It's about your heart. And I believe strongly from what I see in God's word that if you don't learn how to give and be generous, you don't get to levels of large amounts of finance. Because according to his words, you don't. Now, maybe some are like, yeah, well, what about those drug dealers? Okay, well, they're stealing and it's not going to last. There's a scripture that says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Okay? So that's not showing God's word. That's showing someone who's a thief, and that never ends well. So learning to be generous. So I thought, well, that's interesting. Now, I didn't actually find out if this couple were believers or not. They were just generous people. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I wonder if they were generous before. And wouldn't you know it, you know, you Google, you can find more things. Here a few years before that, the year after COVID, they donated $1 million to a school division where they're from. They're from another province now. So that every high school student could get $500 because they felt that would be a great way to bless the high school students. My point is, they were generous. And, you know, there were other stories that popped up when I was searching how they were getting things for everybody who was affected by a fire in a certain area. Generosity. And I found it very interesting. I thought, I wonder, like, you know, I can't tell if they're believers, but somehow they learned generosity. And here was an article about this gentleman, because he's quite wealthy now, where he started. Started in Slave Lake. He bought a business, and guess what? He borrowed the money from his parents. Generous parents. Now, I know some of you right now are like, whoa, I'm going to ask my parents for some money. I'm not saying you should do that. But parents were generous. You're like, well, yeah, but he was probably a great kid, and he was really responsible. Maybe, maybe not. But sometimes generosity is learned not by what we say, but by what we show. If you want your children to be generous, you also need to be generous. Now, here's what I want to say about generosity. According to Scripture, when you're generous, it brings increase. But when you live stingy and selfishly, it actually brings lack or worse. Let me just give you some Scripture. Proverbs 11:24. There is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Everybody say rich. I just do that to bug you. Anyways, it's in the scripture, so once in a while I like to push people a little. Hey, God is saying when you're generous, he's going to pour it back in. And when you water others, you yourself will be watered. I don't need to say more than that. It's pretty clear. Proverbs 13:7. There is one who makes himself rich yet has nothing, and one who makes himself poor yet has great riches. You see, giving at the moment looks like you're losing out, but it's like planting seed. You're not losing out. It will come back. Psalm 37, the psalmist writes this, I was young and now I'm old. I'm just reading, okay? I don't feel really old today. I'm just reading the scripture, okay? But he says, I was young, now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. Listen to this. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing. Hold on a minute. Did you catch that? They're lending and giving freely their children. It doesn't say their children will be blessed. It says their children will be a blessing. Isn't that cool? Your kids will learn from what you do. And you being a blessing to others will bring in God's goodness that will even flow through your children. Children learn by example far more than by words. And sometimes teenagers don't learn by either, but it's okay. God's working on them. They're going to get it. His word doesn't lie. His word is truth. And my goal today is to help each of us become a little more generous. I was honest with you right from the beginning. I felt some conviction on this. Don't always feel generous. But I want to tell you that each of us are somewhere on this scale from a murderous thief to Jesus. We're somewhere in there. And if we can go out today being a little more generous, then this message was worth it. Because when you become generous, you begin to live life. Living life for yourself becomes really depressing in a hurry. Live life for Him and be obedient and generous to others. Be obedient and generous as God declares. Okay, let me read this verse, 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you'll abound in every good work. Again, it explains itself. Paul's actually doing a collection for people in Jerusalem who are having a famine, so they need, okay? So he was doing a collection to give to those in need. Now, let me just keep going. Being selfish and stingy, I said, brings something very different. I'm just going to go quick through these. These are pretty rough verses that I'm going to read, but they're from God's word. I don't want anybody feeling guilty. I just want you to know His word, okay? So James 5 verse 1, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. Okay, I'm going to stop there for a second before we go to the next one. So is this against rich people? Well, if you only go this far, you might think so, but he continues on about how they got their riches. Okay, so this is important. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. They had become wealthy by cheating others. And in this case, cheating by not paying the wages due those who were there. You see, God says, building wealth that way, you're going to have misery. Cheating others, being stingy with those that God puts you over, bad idea. It doesn't bring blessing, it brings misery. And of course, God's word goes even farther. Listen to Malachi 3 and verse 5. At that time, I will put you on trial, God speaking. I am eager to witness against all sorcerers, adulterers, and liars. I will speak against those who cheat employees of their wages, who oppress widows and orphans, or who deprive the foreigners living among you of justice. For these people do not fear me, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Ouch. Misery and now God's judgment. These are strong verses to people who were taking advantage of those under them to build wealth. People who had no power or authority to change the situation. They hired people for their fields or whatever they were doing, and then they just chose, we're just going to only pay you this much, but you work this much. It's not okay. God doesn't bless it. Misery and judgment. You see, being stingy and holding back from those in need or from employees is the same as practicing sorcery or adultery. God hates it and deals with it himself. It's funny, when I was reading that verse, most of us are like, you know, we're going through there. Whew, God's going to bring judgment. He's going to put you on trial for sorcerers. You're like, go get them, God. Those are evil people. Ugh. Adulterers, I tell you what. Liars. Well, hold on a minute. This is getting closer to home. Lord, forgive me for lying last week. You know, like, why is it getting so close to home? And then he goes to the greedy, those who are stealing. Can I tell you something? God wants your heart to be generous, not greedy, not stingy, not fearful, so that the only way you think you can have enough is if you pull some from here, this person and that person, and you steal a little here. That's a wrong heart. Let God give you a generous heart. Because I can tell you this, whoever God has put under you, whether that's your kids, you work at a spot where there's people under you, you're a boss of a business, we all have people under us. It starts with whoever's under you. Are you being generous? I can tell you, I'm really generous to my wife. I can never say no to her. But yet, I got to learn to go beyond my wife and my kids. I got to learn to be generous in other situations. How about you? Where is it that God's maybe wanting to deal with your heart today so that you can be generous? Because none of us wants misery. None of us wants judgment. And listen, according to God's word, stealing, which is really the very opposite of generosity, God's word says it brings a curse. Zechariah 5, verse 1, the prophet is giving this word, and he says, I looked up again and saw a scroll flying through the air. What do you see? The angel asked. I see a flying scroll, I replied. It appears to be about 30 feet long and 15 feet wide. I just want to say my interpretation of that, God had something really big he wanted to say. That's a humongous scroll. You guys know what a scroll is, right? That's where they wrap all up the words in the old days, and then they roll it out. That is a massive scroll, and obviously God wanted to say something. Then he said to me, this scroll contains the curse that is going out over the entire land. One side of the scroll says that those who steal will be banished from the land. The other side says those who swear falsely will be banished from the land. And this is what the Lord of Heaven's army says, I'm sending this curse into the house of every thief and into the house of everyone who swears falsely using my name. And my curse will remain in that house and completely destroy it, even its timbers and stones. Ouch! I know some are like, boy, I'm glad that's Old Testament. Hey, that's God's heart about stealing. Not a good idea. We don't want a heart that is closed. We want a heart that is open. God tells us, of course, to be generous, and he gets specific about it. He says, be generous toward others. Hebrews 13, 16, do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And of course, we could have gone on for a week with scriptures about giving to others and giving to those in need, but I just picked a couple because we only have so much time this morning. Matthew 25, 34 is a well-known scripture where Jesus says, to those that are there, he says, the kingdom of heaven is going to be like this. When the king returns, he's going to gather the people and he's going to divide the sheep on one side and the goats on the other. And then he's going to speak to them. And 25:34 says, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him and saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? And when thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say, assuredly, I say to you, and as much as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. What a powerful verse. The fact that he would say, I'm going to judge about this at the final day, means it's pretty important. And then when he says, when you do it to others, you're doing it to me. And of course, he goes on to those that didn't and says, when you didn't do it to others, you didn't do it to me. Having a generous heart matters. When God has blessed us and we have the ability, we need to be generous with what we have. And when we were generous with those in need, we were being generous to Jesus himself. Okay, let me say this really clearly. Your generosity, anybody can be generous. You are generous with what you have. Maybe you're here today and you're just smiling. You're like, I don't have any money at all. You can say whatever you want. It isn't about money. Kids can be generous. I don't know if you guys have ever had, you know, the little two-year-old, they're learning to eat and they got this mushy food all over their hand and they're like, you want some? You know, they're trying to share with you. It's like, you're like, ooh, I'm not hungry. But you encourage the generosity because that's there. And then you have other kids, this is probably me, you know, like, mine, no. You know, you don't encourage that, you encourage sharing because generosity allows us to live an abundant life, a life with others around us. So you and I need to be generous with others and we need to encourage it and we need to learn it. I am going to say that because of we live in a sinful world, generosity is not something that comes naturally. The me, my, about me does. And so we need to learn to do it differently. So learn to give to others, those in need. So maybe there's kids or teenagers here, and you're like, well, how can I be generous? I don't have anything. Teenagers, have you ever just thought, I'm going to mow the lawn without my parents asking me? Boy, I went silent in here. There are no teenagers in the house. Okay, have you ever thought, I'm just going to wash those dishes? I'm going to be generous. What do you have? You have time, you have energy, you have passion. Generosity can look different, but you give out of what you have. Learn to be generous when you have what you think is nothing. With what you have, God will begin to give you more. Okay? God will bless you. I have a teenager that used to help me mow the lawn generously. Now she works and gets paid to mow lawns with a company. Makes big money and doesn't even touch mine. But anyway, she's generous. All those years helping, she didn't know it was going to pay one day. But be generous with what you have. And this is actually the challenge for today. I'd like to give you a challenge. I am going to challenge you this week to be generous in some way. Okay? Everybody in the house can do this because, again, it's whatever level you're at. And if you're like always generous, I want you to do something different this week. Okay? And the generosity can be to anybody. It can be to your neighbor, your family, your relatives, your parents, somebody in the community. Okay? I want you to be generous. And I want you to do it in a way that you've prayed about it and you're being obedient. All right? So be generous out there. And I'm going to say this very clearly too, because I'm about to go into, we're supposed to be generous to God's kingdom, but I want to tell you the challenge for this week is not about the church or about giving here. It's about being generous out there. Because I'm not preaching this message because my finance person told me, oh, there's a need. You better, you know, see if people want to give. She doesn't do that anyhow. But that's not why I'm preaching this. I'm not preaching this because I'm planning, you know, to make another big renovation. I'm not, at least not today. So we're not doing that. I'm just letting you know that this is about your heart and what it can do for you. So the challenge is anywhere in the community. Maybe you're in other communities that you can do too, but it's out there, okay? You're going to be generous this week in a way that you maybe haven't before. And this goes for every age, every person. All right, my next point, God tells us to be generous toward his kingdom. Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. You've heard that verse before. God says to give back a portion of what we have from that he's blessed us with, give back a portion to him. And that portion in scripture is 10% as a base. And from there, you'll see in the New Testament that it goes far beyond, but that's your obedience to God. Again, I'm not going to focus on this because this is not what the message is about, but being generous to his kingdom is a part of being generous. Proverbs 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce, then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Okay, that's a pretty cool verse. When you honor him, he overflows you. It's a principle. A principle that when you give from what he's given you, he enlarges it. He makes it to produce more. And when you honor him, he always does that. You see, when you're generous to God with the first and best, he blesses you back abundantly. I've found that it's much easier to give your tithe to the local church where God has put you, because that's, you know, when you go through scripture and look at it, that's where he's asked you to do it, where you're being fed, the house where you're planted. When you do that, according to God's word, that blessing comes, but here's what makes it easier. When you understand, ultimately everything is already his. It makes it so much easier. When you take it off and realize, oh, everything I have ultimately comes from him. Let's read a scripture about that. 1 Chronicles 29. Who am I and who are my people? It's King David talking. That we could give anything to you. Everything we have comes from you. And we give you only what you gave us first. Did you catch that? We only give to God what he already gave us first. Everything that we have, he makes it possible for us to have. We are here only for a moment, visitors and strangers in the land as our ancestors were before us. Our days on earth are like a passing shadow, gone so soon without a trace. O Lord our God, even this material we have gathered to build a temple to honor your holy name comes from you. It all belongs to you. I know, my God, that you examine our hearts and rejoice when you find integrity there. You know I have done all this with good motives, and I have watched your people offer their gifts willingly and joyously. When we realize that everything we have comes from him, it's really simple to say, here's 10% back. But we have to believe that and we have to know it. You see, nobody can force you to be generous toward God's kingdom. It's a choice from you and you got to believe it first. But I can guarantee when you do it and you do it joyfully, God will surprise you. God will bless you in ways that you maybe don't even expect. Joyfully and generously. I remember not long ago, about a year ago, many people in the congregation gave joyfully to an expansion project, and I believe that God blessed them back. They just, out of their hearts, said, yes, Lord, we'll give it to you. When you faithfully do what he's asking you to do, you can trust that he will look after it. So please be generous as God leads. And finally, I am wrapping up. Jesus is our example of generosity. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Everybody say rich. Now I'm pushing my luck. Yeah, he's talking about your soul there, but he's talking about your life. You see, God wants to bless you abundantly, and Jesus laid down his position in heaven. He laid it down at that time to come to you and I, to come to be born in a stable to a very, very poor family, a family from a very, very poor, looked down upon region called Nazareth, as low as is possible to come. And he did it for you and I. You see, he knew how to give fully. And John 12, 23 says, Jesus answered saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Jesus proclaiming that his death was going to come, but he likens it to, I'm going to be like this corn of wheat that goes in the ground and dies, and many are going to come from it. Scripture says that Jesus went to the cross. He suffered because of the joy that was set before him. He gave everything, even his life, but there was joy set before him coming. Even Jesus in his giving understood that there would be much that came from it. And he did it for you and I. He gave his life that you and I could have an abundant new life with him. And there is only one way to receive that abundant life that he died for. In scripture, it says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus was crucified, rose from the grave for you, if you believe that, then you simply need to use words and you will be saved. And so at our church, we take a moment every service to pray a simple prayer that will allow you to use words. If you've not done this before, it's simple. If you're believing and feeling, you know what? I believe God is real. I believe he does want to give me that kind of life. I want my heart to be changed from hard to open. If that's you, I want you to pray this prayer with me. I want you to repeat it after me. And I'm going to ask the congregation to join. We're not trying to embarrass anybody. Repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me and rose again. I ask you now to forgive me of all my sin, I choose today to follow you. Amen. Give God praise for that today.